In his famous Galatians commentary of 1535, Luther says this: "Therefore, I admonish you, especially those of you who are to become instructors of consciences, as well as each of you individually, that you exercise yourselves continually by study, by reading, by meditation, and by prayer, so that in temptation you will be able to instruct consciences, both your own and others, and take them from the law to grace, from active righteousness to passive righteousness, in short, from Moses to Christ. In affliction and in the conflict of conscience, it is the devil's habit to frighten us with the law and to set against us the consciousness of our sin, our wicked past, the wrath and judgment of God, hell and eternal death, so that he may drive us into despair, subject us to himself, and pluck us from Christ." Then Paul in our text: "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." Plucked from Christ, devoted to the teachings of demons. On those cheery notes, welcome to the 162nd academic year of the seminary. Now for an admission. I generally preach on the gospel text, but the dean of chapel refused to give me one. As a result, I'm feeling a bit adrift, but I guess if I have to preach on an epistle, this is the one. Why? Because it cuts to the heart of what this seminary is all about. It captures what we as a faculty and you as students stress in all that we think, say, and do. To put it simply, this text summarizes our seminary's mission. It is all about Jesus. Now, you say, obviously, what else would we be talking about? But think about it for a second. This seminary is certainly about teaching the faithful, reaching the lost, and caring for all. But even more pointedly, it is about forming servants in Christ, which is to say, what we are about is proclaiming Christ in word and deed, Christ alone. For Jesus Christ is the very revelation of God. He is the heart of God's plan for creation and history. There is no hidden plan or hidden God that lurks behind Christ. Rather, in and through Christ, God reveals himself fully and his intentions toward the world. As such, Christ is at the center of the Holy Scriptures. Indeed, the entirety of Scripture is about Christ, his person, his sufferings, his glory. Jesus reveals the very nature and character of God, which is, of course, the great mystery Paul speaks about here. The life of Jesus unfolds for us the very life of God. In the incarnation and the cross, we see God as he is, the one who gives himself, so we might have life and life to the full. What this means is that it is not enough to read the Bible as a book about God. To contemplate God apart from Jesus Christ leads one into moralizing and abstracting patterns of interpretation. Rather, what we are doing is learning to read the Bible as the revelation of God in Christ. Augustine's ruling principle of interpreting all Scripture is totus Christus. It is all Christ. Luther said it this way: all of Scripture is pure Christ. Or as some of us less creative types have put it, all theology is Christology. But this is simply the language of our Lord himself. "Search the Scriptures," says Jesus, "for it is they that bear testimony, witness about me." And so we read the entire Scriptures Christologically, because Scripture is held together by its testimony to Christ. The Old Testament foreshadows his first advent. The New Testament records his coming, unpacks its meaning, and prepares us for his second advent. All of Scripture is pure Christ. Consider a sampling of Old Testament themes that find their fulfillment in Christ. He is the Word through whom the Father spoke the world into existence and the light that shined in the darkness. He is the victorious seed promised to Adam and Eve. He is the new Adam who rules over creation, who subdues his enemies, and now protects his bride, the church. He is the greater Noah who through baptism takes his family on board the ark of the church. He is the greater Melchizedek, an eternal priest of God Most High who feeds his people himself through bread and wine. He is the promised seed of Abraham, born of the womb of the virgin. Like Isaac, he is sacrificed by his father and received back from the dead. He is the greater Jacob, who claims his birthright and goes on to victory. He is Jacob's ladder extending into the heavens, on which we ascend into God's sanctuary. He is the greater Joseph, who has been humiliated and left for dead by his own brothers, but then is vindicated and exalted, and as ruler saves the nations by giving bread and wine from his own table. He is the greater prophet than Moses, who leads the exiled people in a greater exodus through water into a greater promised land. He is the temple incarnate, the presence of God dwelling with men. He is great David's greater son. He is the one wiser than Solomon. He is the suffering servant promised by Isaiah, the one who inaugurates the new covenant foretold by Jeremiah, who pours out his spirit as prophesied by Ezekiel. He is the Passover lamb, who offers his own flesh as food to his people, and who keeps away the angel of death. He is the final sacrifice who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Sabbath who gives us rest and peace. And we could go on and on. All God's promises are centered in Christ and Christ alone. Everything written in Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets is fulfilled in him. Very simply, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. All of Scripture is pure Christ. That, my friends, is what Lutheranism is all about. That is what this seminary is all about. That is what you are about as a student. Recall Luther's earlier words, "Therefore I admonish you, especially those of you who are to become instructors of consciences, as well as each of you individually, that you exercise yourselves continually by study, by reading, by meditation, and by prayer, so that in temptation you will be able to instruct consciences, both your own and others, and take them from the law to grace, from active righteousness to passive righteousness, in short, from Moses to Christ." And perhaps even more pointedly, in his 1521 brief instruction on what to look for and expect in the Gospels, Luther says this: "When you open the book containing the Gospels and read or hear how Christ comes here or there, or how someone is brought to him, you should therein perceive the sermon or the Gospel through which he is coming to you, or you are being brought to him. For the preaching of the gospel is nothing else than Christ coming to us, or we being brought to him. When you see how he works, however, and how he helps everyone to whom he comes, or who is brought to him, then rest assured that faith is accomplishing this in you, and that he is offering your soul exactly the same sort of help and favor through the gospel. If you pause here and let him do you good, that is, if you believe that he benefits and helps you, then you really have it. Then Christ is yours, presented to you as a gift." My friends, as we begin this new academic year, pause here and receive that gift, Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.